Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Christmas and New Year celebrations are over, surprise, surprise, but if we've gone into debt by way of loans or credit cards, either for Christmas or other things, now we've got to pay for it. Christmas debt and debt in general is still a problem, and joining me in the studio tonight is Martin Fries from Life Centre Debt Advice in Stourbridge, just down the road, to talk about the best ways to deal with your debt and the ways that you can manage it effectively. Martin, good evening.
Good evening, Clive.
Thank you very much for joining me. Martin, for anybody that's not familiar with Life Centre Debt Advice, tell me about the organisation.
Yeah, thank you, Clive, for inviting me along this evening. Now, well, we are Life Centre Debt Advice, and we're also affiliated with an organisation called Community Money Advice. And we do what it says on the label, Clive. We help people with their debts by offering free, unconditional, confidential, face-to-face budgeting, money management and debt advice. Now, I want to emphasise the free, unconditional and confidential. So, you know, we provide a safe space and we invite conversations, no judgments, and we provide individual help to those people who are looking for help with their money management and debts. And, you know, you're free to disclose in full or in part whatever your situation is. It's a difficult subject, Clive, and really what I want to share tonight as well is to your listeners is a message of hope and a message of opportunity. And, you know, if you're listening to this broadcast and you've got debt and you're struggling with finances like many in the UK, not just here in the Black Country, please, please, if this is you or if it's someone you know, please take action. Get help started. There's a path out of every situation, Clive.
And we'll discover that path as we go through our conversation. Tell me about your role, though, Martin, within the organisation. What do you do?
Well, very simply, I'm the manager. I look after the motley crew, as I affectionately call
them.
How
many people are in your motley crew?
Well, we number 20, and I call them the Motley Crew, by the way, and this is really important because here I'm reaching out to those in the, who are listening for the opportunity that comes here tonight as well, because maybe you want to get involved with the sorts of things that we do, Clive. So we're called the Motley Crew because, you know, we're from a varied background of life experiences and vocations, most of us having been drawn to this work not because of any financial background, but because we simply want to help alleviate suffering that so often accompanies debt and money problems. So really this, you know, there's an opportunity here. If you think you might be looking to get involved, be that as a volunteer, as an intern, or as an organisation, or perhaps even as a paid employee.
Excellent. Again, there are a lot of opportunities there then, which is rather splendid. But how do you help people in the Black Country then with debt advice and debt management? And who provides that advice? Or do you just signpost people?
Well, quite simply, we provide that advice. You know, as I say, we offer free, unconditional, confidential, face-to-face money management and debt advice. And I've got a few words here, really. We connect with people, we come alongside people, we build confidence, we empower them to take control, and we reconnect them with their community if that is required. So the first thing is about getting connected. And here I want to draw perhaps to Community Money Advice. You know, if you use the search engine and just use your browser, Community Money Advice, there's a button on that web screen which says Get Help. All you got to do is type in your postcode and up will come, you know, the nearest debt advice centre to you. And that's where you can get connected. If you're visiting an organisation and you're needing help, you can ask for us. You know, we receive referrals from across the community, including, for example, Black Country Housing and Women's Aid, who we had on very recently, local authorities and churches. So, you know, ask for us by name. We're known within the community and we'll take your referral.
How big is debt in the Black Country? Because I was saying at the very beginning of the programme that there's a difference between debt and bad debt. Debt isn't a bad thing, but bad debt is. So how would you define those two elements, and how big would you say it is an issue in our area? Because, I mean, debt's everywhere, isn't it, really?
Well, good heavens, Clive. It's not big. It's massive.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the headline figure, there's 150,000 vulnerable people living in income deprivation across an estimated 62,000 households here in the Black Country. I mean, you know, it's not a Black Country issue. This is a national challenge. Mm. Despite the various UK government support measures, more households than ever are now reporting being in financial difficulty than at the start of the COVID-19 crisis. You know, the Financial Conduct Authority suggests that the number of people with low financial resilience has gone in March to October last year to an estimated 1 in 4 adults.
Crumbs.
It's colossal. If we looked just some quick statistics, mm-hmm. you know, the West Midlands region, it's one of 9 regions in England. There's just under 6 million people live in the West Midlands. The West Midlands Metropolitan County is one of 7 districts of the West Midlands. That's a bit complicated, but there are just under 3 million living in the West Midlands Metropolitan County. And you can tell I'm a Geordie, I'm not from this area, so I've discovered in these recent weeks the Black Country has a vague definition, doesn't it, according to what you talk about. But the Black Country, by some measures, is defined as Dudley and Sandwell and a little bit of Walsall. And there's about 700,000 people in that population. And sadly, overall deprivation in the Black Country is particularly high. In fact, almost 20% of the areas of the Black Country are in the 10 most deprived areas of England. Mm. So, you know, as I say, coming back to the headline figure, in 700,000 people in the Black Country, 150,000 are in a position of vulnerability. Sure. And income deprivation.
Now, talking about vulnerability, and that's an interesting point that you make there. We've just had Christmas, and the thing that annoys me about Christmas is, for most people, it seems to, most organisations, it seems to start in August. So there's that immediate temptation to start shopping for things for Christmas, or you know, you see the adverts for having a new sofa, and those come on in mid-autumn, and you know, for delivery in the new year. So how much would you say the season of Christmas makes people not so much prone to debt, but being tempted to live beyond their means?
Well, thanks. It's an excellent question. And, you know, we heard from Nick the Vic, and shout out to Nick Gowers at Holy Trinity there
Nick
in December.
Nick is fabulous. Yes, he's yeah. our Friday Night Clive chaplain.
Yes, yes. And thanks to Nick. And he referred to the commerce of Christmas, I think. Mm. And, you know, I really liked his line, "Life is bigger than a turkey."
yes, it is.
Wise
words.
Absolutely. And we should fill our lives with hope and goodwill and not unnecessary items, Clive. You know, there really is something more than that. And we really do need to think about the bigger picture. That said, you know, irrespective, Christmas, whatever time of the year, and by the way, January and September are our busiest times. You think about why that might be. But that said, we're all human beings. You know, adverts, shop windows are opportunities for temptation at any time of the year. As I say, January, September is our busiest times. You know, skipping down the high street, Clive, past the coffee shops, the electrical and clothing outlets on the day after payday. Few of us are thinking, oh, I fancy a bit of council tax. Oh, I think I'll just, you know, have a little bit of rent and maybe a little bit of TV license. You know, to be tempted is to be human. But, you know, somewhere in there, to be prudent, to act responsibly from an informed and measured perspective is key. So,
if I was the sort of person that I thought, oh, crumbs, my debts are starting to, my money's not going as far as it should do, or I can see debt around the corner, or perhaps I might be in that position already where I'm thinking, you know, what the money that's coming in is not equaling the money going out, or the expenditure going out, rather, and I come to you and I go, look, help. Talk me through the steps that you would take to help me get myself out of that.
Great, and thanks for that question. And really, I mentioned earlier on about getting connected. Use that website link, Get Help. Come alongside those that want to have that offer help. And we specialise in face-to-face relational help. You know, it's not a one-off visit, it's a journey. So the first thing that we're interested in is we want to prevent a crisis happening. We want to catch people before they fall into debt. We want to share with people how to be wise with their money, how to use budgeting and money management techniques, and how to explore their lifestyle choices so that, you know, they can make better choices. Mm-hmm. And how to use banking. We call this good housekeeping or good stewardship. Unfortunately, of course, you know, life sometimes happens. That's why we're called the Life Centre. And, you know, you can't always plan for every eventuality. Things come along, which cause things to get a little bit off schedule, let's say. So an extension to the help of prevention, in a sense, is when someone is facing financial hardship or crisis, things get a little bit more involved. Very often this is quite dramatic and quite emotional. It begins with meeting and connecting with people, therefore, and listening to their situation, building a mutual trust together, building a caring and supportive understanding. And once we appreciate their situation financially and emotionally, then if a client wishes to, then we move on to that next phase. And that next phase is about advocacy. It's about, as I say, coming alongside them and building their confidence. Now, a household might be at a crisis point and it needs immediate support to respond to bailiffs, creditors, demands, or sudden changes in your income or your expenditures, life events, all those sorts of things. And so we step in with to support the client with an understanding of their income and their expenditures and their particular debts, and try to help them, first of all, identify their debts. You know, not everybody knows the full extent of the debts that they have. We can help by doing some work in the to identify the level of indebtedness. And then it's about trying to order the debts, order them in terms of what we call priority debts and non-priority debts. Now, maybe a crass example of this is, you know, if someone's knocking on your door and you're about to have, you know, the landlord is about to evict you, or you're about to have your home repossessed, then really paying the £100 catalogue bill is not of a not an equivalent priority, in a sense. So we help those who come to seek some help put into an order, really, what is priority and what is non-priority in debt terms. And then we go around negotiating and liaising as an advocate with the creditors to see how we can resolve and put a plan in place, or how we can resolve the situation. And very often that means putting in a payment plan. It can mean applications for grants, and you know, we're very often able to apply for grants on behalf of people to have a debt either wholly wiped out or significantly impacted upon. So so that's stepping into the indebtedness of the client. At some point, and it doesn't happen overnight, you know, I very often say you've taken a lifetime to get to see us today, and it may take more than a few appointments to change direction with life. So it's about the journey, Clive. And so we continue with that support for as long as it needs.
Sometimes people can be in a position of debt because they're on a reduced income, or they can't work for, you know, medical reasons or such like. Very often people are not claiming the right kind of benefits. Are you able to assist with benefit advice as well? And can you intervene to, you know, make applications on behalf of people? Or can you at least point them in the right direction of doing that?
Yeah, thanks. And it's the very last sentence there. So we are not benefits advisors, but we, you know, we are connected within our community to those who can provide that. We are informed, and clearly we can understand what entitlements are, and we can sit alongside a person and discuss and explore with them what their entitlements are. And I know I have one such example of just that very recently, when a young person came to see me, and they were in some financial stress, you know, through conversation and a review of their income, I was able to identify that they were entitled to some additional support. And very often it's just a case of sitting with a person, let's say, and going through online resources. You know, there are online facilities or resources like Turn to Us, where you can go through with the client sat with you and actually just reveal, by putting in their circumstances, reveal what their entitlements might be.
You touched on an example a moment ago that, you know, where you said if a bailiff is knocking the door, for example, or somebody's actually chasing you for your money, or your landlord. Let's look at legal enforcement. Where do people stand if
you know, the landlord is knocking on the doorstep or the bailiff. I mean, you know, you'll get a notification from the court if a bailiff visit is due. But where do you stand legally on that, or where does somebody stand legally on that?
Well, again, and you took a couple of questions there at me, and thanks for those. And I guess, you know, first of all, my point would be, before it gets to that point, please seek help. Mm. You know, there is a long journey before.
And there's no shame in seeking help, is there?
None whatsoever. None. I mean, you know, even an Olympic athlete, Clive, is surrounded by, you know, a group of people helping them achieve the best that they can be. So it is with ourselves, you know. So seek help. I mean, you know, the bailiff situation, it's complicated to go through every single scenario. There are a variety of bailiffs, high court enforcement officers. They are debt collectors at the end of the day. And, you know, the key message I want listeners to hear now is don't wait until the day that they're knocking at the door and you're facing those circumstances. Get help beforehand. And the same applies with the landlords, really, and the landlord situation. You know, there is a long journey of letters and conversations which precede dramatic circumstances like eviction. And you know, engaging with them, with your landlord, engaging with your with the people to whom you owe money, stops that escalation taking place.
And it's important to, you know, point out that, as you've just said, that there is a process in place that precedes, you know, a bailiff visit, a landlord visit. They cannot just throw you out. That's unlawful. So, you know, people shouldn't be really intimidated by any aggressive knocks on the door or whatever from a landlord, a bailiff, a debt recovery agency, whatever. Because, as you've said, there is a process in place that precedes that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, look, nobody wants a bailiff knocking at the door. It doesn't have to happen. But sadly, you know, it is a process whereby those who you owe money to are entitled to engage with collection agents. And that is their right to recover monies that are owed to them, of course. So all these things happen if someone chooses to ignore letters. And really that's the crux of the matter. Now, there are circumstances, of course, when letters go astray. And I have helped people in our community who have moved house on a number of occasions and have had to move house for self-protection reasons. And, of course, letters have not gone to the correct address. And therefore, sometimes, in very rare occasions, it can be that it is a surprise when escalation activities have taken place. But they tend to be the exception, Clive. The most important thing is don't ignore things. Try to anticipate these things and get help as quick as you can.
I remember many years ago, I hadn't been in my present house for long, and I had a letter from a debt recovery agency on behalf of my energy provider at the time, and I sat there, and it is quite frightening when this letter lands on your doormat saying, you know, unless you pay X much, we're coming to get you, kind of thing. And these letters are designed to be quite intimidating. And I thought, this is a load of twaddle, because I knew I didn't owe the energy company anything. And I rang them up. As you say, you get on it straight away. And I got, and because I've never had anything like that happen to me before or ever since. And I said to them, you know, very politely, what's going on? And they had a computer error. And they'd gone onto a new system where their migration had gone wrong, and about several hundred people had fallen through some sort of a net where they believed, or their accounts were marked as, you know, more than 90 days old, and they were referring them to a debt collection agency. And then I had a letter of apology, and they confirmed that everything was in order, which I knew it was, because I can account for every penny of my money. However, when that letter lands on your mat, it puts the willies up you.
It does. I mean, you know, and thank you for those examples. And generally, we find creditors are, I don't want to say amiable people. They have a job to do as well. But, you know, they're open to dialogue and understanding. And so, yeah, it's not uncommon that, you know, once you present your circumstances like that, then justice prevails.
That's right. Tell me about some of the other support organisations that are available or that you work in partnership with.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, we're very keen on being an interconnected resource, really, within our community and making sure that we're networked. And I mentioned Black Country Housing and Women's Aid, just as two organisations that I know you've had here on this programme as well. So other organisations, we're well connected clearly within to the church community, the local authorities and the private sector housing organisations as well. And so, you know, we receive referrals from those organisations. And do what we can.
And of course, you've got your website as well, haven't you? We can
absolutely.
Get in touch with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the two messages I want to share, really, and the two hats that I wear, you can type in Life Centre Debt Advice, and that will come to ourselves. And you can type in Community Money Advice, and that's the national organisation. And once you've typed in your postcode, you will find out the nearest centre to you.
Okay, so your website is...
Right, so yeah, so if you want community money advice, mm-hmm. then simply type into your browser,
right?
Community money advice. Mm-hmm. And for ourselves, just type in Life Centre Debt Advice. You can email us on info@lifecentredebtadvice.org.uk. And our telephone number is an 01384 number, and that's 739757.
01384 739757.
That's it.
For anybody now thinking, oh, crumbs, I think I'm in this situation, what would be your message of hope, your parting words for them?
Take action. Don't sit there in anxiety. Don't sit there worrying about things. Take action. Pick up the telephone or get on to your... to the internet and search help.
Martin Fries from Life Centre Debt Advice in Stourbridge, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast. or wherever you get your podcast from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast, presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.